Hey everyone, this is Anthony with Interviews with Everyday People. We're back again. So I put a little ominous post on our social media today. It was of a porcupine with a microphone in front of him.
Ooh.
And a pair of headphones on him.
So wow.
If you figured out the clues, it did not say drink more Ovaltine. It was a clue to our new guest, our next guest, which is super exciting. Before we get into any of that, I want to thank everyone. I will get towards the end of the podcast here, our Patreon subscribers, the people who help pay the bills and support us, which is super thankful for that. So that'll all come to the end of the sponsorship. But the big sponsor we want to say before we start is the brand new Cabana Entertainment. So if you are following along and you've been watching this podcast for a very long time, the guy who used to sit with me all the time, Nikolai Cabana, he has grown up. He's a man. He's bought his own building. I'm trying to make him crack in the back there. He bought his own building, which is going to be used for photography, hosting things like this. So when we have guests, we can come film some stuff here, as well as you might see some other cool content coming out. But he's looking for photography, filming things. If you're anything, if you need something filmed, you need a space, you're a musician, you want somewhere to kind of maybe try something out, hit them up. Cabana Entertainment, they're on all social media, as well as Facebook. And they have their number. You can contact them. Awesome. Thank you, Nikolai. I mean, he may come over and ask a couple questions later, but yeah. My camera's in that bag if you want to use that to take photos if you didn't bring your camera. There you go. I kind
of...
And there's
that one. 10 bags that are here.
That one right in front of you.
The black bag?
Yeah, the black bag.
The black one, yes.
Probably should have did that before we started. That's the beauty of Interviews with Everyday People. Awesome. So give everyone an introduction. Who are you?
Well, I'm Porcupine Pat. That's what people call me.
Yeah. I guess we'll get into that in a minute, how that name came about. But
well, there we go.
Let's go back to, what is a baby porcupine called? Is there like a special name for it?
Well, Porcupet.
Porcupet?
Porcupet.
Porcupet. So let's go back to when you were a young porcupet. Porcupet. Obviously, I guess if people, a lot of people watching are like, I've seen him for so long and comes to school.
I've been around the block more than once. Yeah. I can tell you that. Yes.
So how did you get involved with the wildlife and doing that? Did it always come at a young age? What's the backstory here?
Well, I actually grew up in a medium-sized city in Ohio. And Tony, I have to tell you, I was always in the backyard. I was always looking at bugs. And every year I would always see the cicada shells on trees. And of course, we had a beautiful apple tree in the backyard, and the blooms during springtime were just breathtaking. Mm-hmm. But there was always some, even though I was in the middle of the inner city, two blocks from downtown, there was nature around us. And I was always curious about it. And I had a fourth grade teacher, and you know how teachers can really inspire and motivate. Mm-hmm. Well, Mrs. Stein, my fourth grade teacher, really got me hooked into nature and doing something for the planet. That's what I always was. I still think of her, you know. She's a really a memorable person, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So
it is very influential how anything you do, creating, musician, school, a school teacher, like if you do the right thing, man, you can really push someone in a good path.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I was in high school, now our school was pretty substantial. We had in my senior class back in the 70s, my God, we had about 550 students in our senior class. But because it was a good-sized school, Tony, we had our own radio and TV station. And, well, like you say you like to chit-chat.
Yeah.
Well, so do I, as you can tell. I have to tell you, I used to get third-grade report cards, and on the report card, the teacher would write, this is what they did back then, talks too much in class.
Nailed it.
I was only priming the pump for what I'm going to be doing.
I actually had one of my old teachers who, I don't know if she ever watched the podcast, but she's seen This Is What I Do Now, and she goes, it makes a lot of sense, because you'd never shut up in school, and you always had too many questions.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yep. That's what
the ongoing joke is that I was kicked out of CCD because I asked too many questions. you'll like this. The very first week, they teach you obviously Exodus, right? So
yeah.
This is not a religious podcast, but he's like, all right, so on the first day, God created light. And then the second day, and I raised my hand. I was like, so when are we going to learn about the dinosaurs? Because I was a young kid, and I was like, yeah. I'm really into them right now. And they're like, totally. About, like, he just, every 30 seconds, he's asking questions. Like, we can't get class going, so we got to get him out of here.
do it.
So dinosaurs and CCD didn't go very well.
That doesn't sound like a very good mix there.
Yeah, so awesome. So you started chatting and going through that.
Well, I was a student radio announcer and disc jockey, and it was a lot of fun. And to be honest, I wanted to be a rock and roll disc jockey.
Nice.
So I this is where I ended up going to school, Columbia College in Chicago. It's like a multimedia type of school, mm-hmm. right in the loop, right downtown. And where I lived was not far from O'Hare International Airport. And oh my word, you put your hand on the wall and the whole thing would vibrate like that because that's how close you were. So anyway, and when I was in Chicago, I got a job as a rock and roll disc jockey. And honest to God Almighty, what happened was not long after, all of us got fired. Because they changed formats. And I still have kind of a bad taste in my mouth for disco because we went from like progressive rock at the time to disco. Mm-hmm. And Fly Robin Fly did not sound like a good song for me.
Yeah. What were some of your favorites to play back then? Like what genre are you into?
It was called progressive rock at the time. So mm-hmm. you played like obscure bands that some people may not even know now, but there was a band named Nectar, and mm-hmm. You know, you had let's see, what would be another one is Third Power, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, and stuff that radios now wouldn't even give time of day to.
You got it.
Yeah,
you got
it. It's only like what's top of the charts.
That's
it. It's hard to find a lot of that stuff.
Well, it's called a freeform format. Now you have to do internet radio, which mm-hmm. is why I love Dandelion Radio from London. You got to check that out. Oh my God, it's all over the place with the. I'm an audiophile, so I love music. So.
Yeah.
But anyway. While living in Chicago during the 70s, I have to tell you, I got very concerned. The reason is, Tony, the Chicago River was polluted, and of course the skies had smog. And, you know, this is when the Clean Water Act was just getting off the ground, because actually this year, 2022, is the 50th anniversary of the Clean Water Act.
Wow.
The federal one.
So we've only cared about clean water for 50 years in our country.
That's it.
That's terrifying to think about.
Oh. Now, I did see that here in Schuylkill County and also in Pennsylvania, we're going to get more money for abandoned mine drainage issues in our waterways, which is good because mm-hmm. we have a lot of that. The orange water that smells like rotten eggs, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, long story longer. I got involved in wanting to help make the world a better place. There were people in Chicago that motivated me in that direction. So I mulled things over and I went back home to where I grew up in Marion, Ohio. And I said, what is it that I could do that melds the environment, science, people, and art? Well, you know how there's people that on your life path all of a sudden show up? Mm-hmm. I was at Ohio State Marion campus. I was on a Friday afternoon. I'm in the Bozo Hall, Botany Zoology Hall, looking at some really cool stuff in these glass cases. I heard a door close, it slammed shut. And a man came over and he says, could I help you, young man? And I go, well, yes, and I explained my situation. He goes, come right into my office. So for the next 2 hours on a Friday afternoon, this college professor sat down with me and made me consider and think and try to get myself focused. And he said I ought to be like a park naturalist. Mm-hmm. Because when you work at a nature center, you get all those things together because you want to get people aware so they become appreciative. And then, of course, from that, you take actions to help the environment. Mm-hmm. So I said, wow. So I went to Ohio State, majored in that. I had a 6-month student internship for Columbus Metro Parks. And I was at a nature center in the Columbus Metro Parks in the southeast side. And oh my word, we were busy. We were busy. My very first hike ever. I had 70-some people, so I went gulp like this.
Oh, you two would take people out and like do a class while you're walking with them?
Well, this is a general public walk is what it was.
Okay.
So it was like advertised for a certain time and a date. I don't remember when it was. Like, I'm sure it was like a weekend because there mm-hmm. were a lot of people. But, oh, Tony, can you imagine my reaction? Here I am like You know,
well, but, I'm sure your dish jockeying and talking was helped you a little bit with your communication. And
yeah, but that many people all at once, you know. So, but it was called Hike to the Giants, and we saw, you know, the trees, and I interpreted the trees. So, and then I felt that, you know, hey, I think I can do this. So now one thing leads to another. I worked with the Girl Scouts, and I'm proud to say I was a Girl Scout. How about that? And then
trendsetting.
Oh boy, I got to tell you, I'm rolling my eyes as I talk here. But no, seriously, it was great experience to work with the Scouts, and there were some great leaders and the young people there. Oh my word! But now I can't believe I've been doing this hustle here with the Schuylkill Conservation District for 32 years. Tony,
how did you transfer from Ohio to Pennsylvania?
Well, I was married at the time, honestly. And I found a job in Western Pennsylvania working for the Girl Scouts as a ranger. And I could say that, yep, I'm one of those guys that when it was zero outside, I'd be working in a thick flannel shirt splitting wood. Because they say cutting firewood heats it twice. The actual cutting it and, of course, burning it.
Yeah.
But, you know, being an outdoorsy kind of guy, you know, plus I rubbed elbows with a lot of awesome people there, you know, that worked with young people.
Yeah.
And I said, this is for me. This is for me. And it was Girl Scouts that, well, they gave me this nickname, Porcupine Pat.
Oh, so the Girl Scouts.
The Girl Scouts
of America gave the name Porcupine Pat.
GSUSA.
There it is. We learned something today.
There you go.
The origin story. Yeah.
Well, I could tell you a story about that.
Absolutely.
Well, what happened is this was at Camp Curry Creek and outside of Brockway, and this is Jefferson County. And I lived in Elk County, and yes, there are elk in Elk County. So anyway, I took a group of junior Girl Scouts. So these are like 10, 11, 12-year-old Scouts. There were quite a number. So we took a hike, and we saw a lot of neat stuff, like muskrats swimming in the pond, you know, deer tracks. And sure enough, you're not going to believe it, there was a porcupine taking a snooze at the top of a tree. And everybody's like, oh, wow, check that out. Wow. So we ended up our hike at a campfire. And, of course, you have to make the s'mores. Mm-hmm. You got to have that.
Yeah.
That's the cherry on top of the sundae.
Now you can just buy the box of cookies that they're pre-made.
Oh, my word. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. So we played what was called the name game. Now, let's say there was a girl named Tanya. Mm-hmm. Okay. You had to think of a animal or plant that you saw on the hike that began with the first letter of your first name. She would go, my name is Tanya, and I like the tulip tree. Mm-hmm. And then next to her would be Cindy. Of course, that starts with a C. And maybe we saw a woolly bear caterpillar. And, well, she'd say, my name is Cindy, and I like the caterpillar. Her name is Tanya, and she likes the tree. So it went all the way around the circle with everybody saying their name, plus everybody that preceded them. Well, silly me or stupid me, I should have started it because I had to remember all those Scouts' names. You know, I think I needed some help there.
Yeah,
I was going to say, my name is Pat, and I like pine trees. But before I could finish, they said, no, you like porcupines. You're Porcupine Pat. And then, whoa.
Yep.
That hit me. That was a pivotal moment in my life.
It's like Batman falling down the cave.
Oh, my word. You got it. You got it. That was so cool.
Yeah.
Now there's people that don't even know my real name.
Yeah.
They just know me as Porcupine or Pork.
Yeah, Pork. Yeah. Now, what did you start getting into, like collecting and taking in wildlife? Because that was something you would bring them to school. Actually, before you get that, how did you get into coming into the schools and then talking to?
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I don't have any live animals. I do have stuff like a turtle shell, a deer skull, that sort of thing. But what happened is, being with the Schuylkill Conservation District, one of our mission statements and goals is to provide environmental education. And what I love about the job is no 2 days are alike. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm one of those type of people that I'm kind of like hyper. I got to keep moving. I got to keep going on. I can't just do one thing. I do multitask. Mm-hmm. But anyway, what I love about my job is I could go from ages 2 to 102. Now, school groups are a good part of that. But, I mean, I've talked to senior citizens. I actually talked to adjudicated youth, you know, young people that have some troubled issues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I provide service to anybody that's interested, you know. I'll never forget this story. I gave a presentation at a nursing home in Shenandoah Heights, and I was talking about wildlife, and then I held up the stuffed groundhog, or grunsau, woodchuck, you know, and I started talking about it, but a woman in the back in a wheelchair shouted out, "Stop right there. Let me tell you how you can cook up a groundhog." and she said she told us, all of us in the audience, that she grew up on a farm in Ringtown. Now, keep in mind, this woman's 102 years old, and this was a few years back. So they didn't have Redners, they didn't have Wises, they didn't have any of that.
I don't think Ringtown still has any of that stuff.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's out there in the boonies.
I think they have a gas station, that's all.
I think that's it, yeah. But what happened is, she said their food was around them, in the fields, and the forests, and in the waters. Mm-hmm. So she said they would have a groundhog and have groundhog pot roast. And she said the secret, and everybody's like waiting for her because she paused, the secret was to roast it with apples. That takes the gamey taste out.
Interesting.
So that's, there you go.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how many people eat woodchuck now, but oh boy.
Probably not many. Yeah. I think one of the people in our area that does really cool stuff with the outdoors, and I don't know how much they do with the school like wildlife conservation, but coal cracker bushcraft, Dan Wolak from Monty City. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
No, I haven't.
We had him on the podcast. You ever see this TV show Alone, where they take people and put them in the woods? He's a survivalist, so he goes out in the woods.
Yeah.
They put him in like this crazy Arctic situation, and he had to sort of like, and he was the only reason he didn't make it to the end, I think he was like the final three, is because he's very, very tall, and he was a bigger guy, and he was, I guess they pulled him from the show because he was losing too much weight.
Because
they would come and see medical people. He's like, "I'm fine. Like, I'm a big guy. Like, so of course my BMI to what I can, like medically on your chart to what I can do." And they ended up pulling him. But he's like, "I could have stayed another 6 months if they needed me." Like, he was having a hard time getting fish. But his whole thing is he was a trapper. And he would live off the traps, and like he wasn't doing it just like for that, but that was his part of his thing. But he's really big with that. And he would like teach his kids how to like almost like the Boy Scouts, like how to trap game if needed, how to start a fire, how to take a tree and use it to whatever you have to do. Like, he's from Monty City. He's really into that stuff.
Wow, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. You know, that's amazing, the different people that we have around us that have so many talents. I know a guy down in Fredensburg, and he has a business. It's called Venom Incorporated, and he has a lot of snakes.
I was going to say, that's not like a snake thing.
Yeah, oh boy. And I actually met him. I heard about him, but I met him at the Schuylkill County Fair last year. Mm-hmm. And boy, what a dynamic guy. He's actually originally from California, and he has his young children here going to school here and all that. So, but he's a nice guy. And I think we may contract with him to do some programs.
So, yeah, definitely reach out to Dan. I think you guys would be a cool little collaboration.
I think that would be good. Yeah. You know, he reminds me of this. My lady friend watches the Weather Channel, and there's a guy named Creek Stewart.
Okay.
Maybe you heard of him. But
I have not. But
he has a similar type of show where he has some guys he puts out in the woods, and they have to figure things out.
Yeah, I watch this all the time. You ever see those kids in I'm just going to say some Africa or something. They go out in the jungle and they build like a hut out of mud. Do you ever watch those?
Oh, I've seen that.
I'll watch those for hours. Like they just make a hut and they build like a swimming pool. Like, and they're just hand digging everything out.
Yep.
It's probably all fake, but it looks cool to me.
Well, you know, Tony, I'm reminded of these books that are actually applicable to here in Appalachia. Cause keep in mind,
the Appalachian Trail,
we are in Appalachia, and that of course goes all the way down to the state of Georgia. But there are the landscape, the people, the culture, the history is astounding. There's a book series I highly recommend that people, if they're interested in learning about the past, it's called the Foxfire series.
Okay.
And it's actually back in the early 1970s, this teacher, and this is what also inspired me to get into this. I read these books. I'm like, wow. He saw that his high school students were getting very bored. Now, this is down in Georgia. So he said, "I want you to interview your grandparents or interview somebody older that you know, then ask them, like, how did you make soap? Mm-hmm. How did you have fun? Like, what games did you play? What toys did you play with? You know, all these, like, how did you make butter?" Mm-hmm. All these things right here. And the books are easy to read. They're fun. They have pictures in them, and they're inspiring. There's a whole series, but it's the Foxfire series, and I highly recommend people, Google that and see what they are talking about.
That was my second interview I ever did. Was like the whole reason I started this whole podcast is for my grandmother.
Oh, there you go.
My second interview was with my gram.
I only have
one grandparent left. So I went back the things she did, because obviously if my little cousins, like she's like, there's three generations now that she has spawned. So like they hear like, wait, you didn't have like, your toy was like a doll. Like, you know what I mean? Like different.
Right.
It was like such a different culture shock. And like now with kind of ties in that we just talked about and natural conservation as well as wildlife, but like Betty White just passed away.
Yes.
And she was huge into the wildlife and into the environment
animals,
and the plant and the animals and people. Like it's a whole thing now, like things that Betty White was older than, like stoplights sliced bread and people, like it blows people's mind. Like your grandparents are the same way. Have a conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I often think about I talked with my gram, but I didn't talk enough, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She passed on when I was like 14 and all that. But, you know, when you're a kid, you don't think like this, unfortunately.
Yep.
At least I didn't.
Yep.
You know, I wanted to find out more about my history. Like, you know, I love genealogy. And, you know, part of me is Irish. That's my name, McKinney.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other part of me is Croatian. And
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm Irish, Italian, German, and I think a little English.
Oh my God.
I'm a melting pot.
You are a melting pot.
I'm like the whole of all of Europe, I think.
Wow. Yeah. Well, earlier you talked about CCD and all that.
Yeah.
Well, my mom, she went to the Catholic school, and she told me the nuns, oh boy, Tony, if you started talking in your native language, my mom, she didn't speak English until she was 8 years old.
Wow.
But the nuns, well, they whacked it out of you.
Yep.
They'd say, put your wrists out, and they whoosh, 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 like that.
I used to hold my pencil weird, like I still do to this day. So
yeah.
When I was in younger school, they used to make me hold it right and then taped it to my hand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's,
and then I
that's
came
crazy.
Home from school, I was like, they taped my fingers to my pen. I was like, they did what? I was like, yeah. Like, so that was a Shenandoah. I had an early
where
it seemed like I had a nun as a teacher.
Oh, boy.
Imagine if you tape a kid's fingers to his pencil today.
Oh, yeah. Just imagine that. You'll lost it big time.
Well, going back to the schools.
Yeah.
Do you have any like stories or moments that stick out to you of bringing stuff to kids and like some of the funny questions, because they always say kids say the darndest things, right?
Oh yeah, Art Linkletter, that's what he said. Absolutely. Well, I have to tell you, there's now this past spring, a year ago last spring, I was at Blue Mountain West, and they actually don't have their school building. They're actually in the St. Ambrose school building.
Okay.
Because Blue Mountain West building shut down, but the kids had to go somewhere. So they went to the St. Ambrose school. So it was a new experience for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they all wore masks. They are very polite and everything. And when we got up to take a walk around, I could not believe these trees around the campus that had so many of these spotted lanternflies. And you should have seen the kids where their eyeballs are popping there. They're like, oh my, I'm not talking like 10 or 20, I'm talking like hundreds of lanternflies that were on these trees. And well, that's what happened at that year, you know, so. But that was something else.
Now you're supposed to eradicate them, right?
We have in our conservation district, we have a lot of different people that do different jobs. We have a young man who lives in Frackville right now, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's our lantern, he's the insect pest management technician. See that five times fast.
Yeah.
But the lanternfly is one, but another is mosquitoes. He sets out traps because West Nile virus, and you know viruses are a big deal now. West Nile virus has been around and has afflicted people. I know some people that were actually misdiagnosed, and they have long haul, well, West Nile virus. Mm-hmm. They're impacted for the rest of their lives. But
I think the rats were the blame for like a plague, but now they're starting to look like it might not even been the rats. The rat might have ate a mosquito.
Yeah.
Like
yes.
Yeah.
And you know, they say, and this is one thing that I love learning. And even though I'm an old guy, I'm in my 60s right now. I'll be actually registering for Medicare any time now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still learning. Just like Michelangelo said at age 87, I am still learning. I learned recently that the most dangerous creature on the entire planet is the mosquito.
Yeah.
and it has killed millions of people. Everything from malaria to, I could go on. Now you heard about Zika. Mm-hmm. That's a mosquito-borne thing too.
Yep.
You know, but anyway.
Side tangent. I just learned something today about a caterpillar. And it's like a fuzzy caterpillar.
Oh, yeah.
And somehow, like, this caterpillar interacts with, like, fecal matter from something else.
Oh, yeah.
And it carries a parasite or a disease that, like,
people
pick up these caterpillars.
Yeah.
And, like, touch their eyes and their mouth.
Ooh.
And then they get this parasite, and there's no cure for it.
Oh, my.
So, like, they tell people, like, don't. I don't know. I don't think it's Pennsylvania. I think it's somewhere else.
I think that's somewhere else.
It's, like, one of those fuzzy caterpillars, but it's a big problem in their area where they're, like, don't touch the caterpillar because it carries this parasite that normally, like, rats get it.
Yeah.
Like the rat, like, but it doesn't harm a rat or like, or something like that. Something with it goes into their lungs or something like that.
Yes.
It's a lung borne pathogen that,
ooh.
But when a human gets it, it's like fatal and there's nothing they can do.
My.
Once you get it, it's done. Like there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, I've learned something now myself. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
I wish I knew the caterpillar where this located, but I think TikTok taught me that the other day.
Well, TikTok.
It may not be true at all. I may be spreading false information. Don't cancel me.
Disinformation, misinformation. Yeah. Oh my God.
All the local bands are taking their music off Spotify.
Okay, going back to kids there, you know, one thing that I also like is this right here. In fact, right now is planning time for me. It's February, it's cold outside and whatnot. So what we are doing is setting up our spring schedule. Now, I just got the A-OK from like St. Clair School, sixth grade. And Mrs. Blosser, wonderful teacher, absolutely wonderful. She's one of those teachers that 30 years after you left sixth grade, you remember and you love. Well, Mrs. Blosser said, bring it my Pat, we are going out. I just got the A-OK, I got the green light. So I was going, yippee, like that. We're going to Sweet Arrow Lake County Park. Now, I work for the Conservation District, and a lot of people don't seem to know this, but the Conservation District manages Sweet Arrow Lake. We're the ones that maintain it. We do programming there. We coordinate things. And I'm tipping my hat to my coworker, Drew. He's got his hands full. There's a lot of people because of pandemic times. They hike out there. They walk out there. They fish out there. I could go on.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm setting up what's called a round robin, where the students will come in, and it'll be four stops. Like, for example, I have my good buddy Dave Big Al McSurdy. Now, Dave, he's 85, but, boy, he's still going at it. I think we'll have him talk about rocks. And I got to tell you, you know, when you're 12 years old, you know, rocks can still intrigue you, especially the rocks that he's going to show you. We have a lot of beautiful rock specimens here in Schuylkill County. Anyway, that's one. Mm-hmm. We're also going to have Schuylkill County Trout Unlimited to do a casting contest. And then I'll give a talk about wildlife and maybe a walk, too.
Nice.
You know, get them out there and show them that groundhog hole. Show them that pileated woodpecker hole up in the tree. And their jaws are going to drop. Because, you know, you don't want to make it sound this way, but the students are actually modeling a lot of times their parents' behavior,
mm-hmm.
where they're on their phones, they're in their own little zone there, and the beauty of the natural world seems to be challenging for them.
Yeah.
My goal is to take a key and open up that door and say, look at what is out here. And I got to tell you, it was something else just to see these groups of kids open their eyes and get enthused about something there. So. Yeah.
It is very interesting how that does that thing. Because I just, as you were talking, I was in my head thinking, like, I remember when you would come to the school, and then after you would leave, like, every kid in the school, like, for the next month, that's all they taught. Like, let's go up in the woods. We're going to go take a walk. We're going to go look for, like, and that became a thing. Like, we would just, like, go, and like, we probably shouldn't have done it at that age.
Yeah.
But we would just, like, living in Monte City, you just go up one way or the other, and there's woods on each side of the mountain.
That's it.
In town, and we would go explore. But what were they called? The zoo books? Or?
Oh, the zoo books, yes.
Yeah, well, they were, like, the zoology, and, like, you would look through, and it would just, like, go, like a snake or a moose on the cover, and then like, they would talk about the whole thing, and they got real popular in school after you came around, because like it would, like you're saying, you would open that door to of imagination where it's like, oh, this is a whole other thing. And then kids are like,
right,
did you know that this side of Bear is not even in Pennsylvania and this bear is, and like
it was,
it is cool that like all these years later that is still something that you're bringing to kids. And how you were saying with the pandemic too, I feel like a lot of people became more outdoorsy and learning things because when they had to social distance, the only thing you really could do is kind of like explore a little bit there and kind of, it was like almost like a, a lot of people are starting to say, like, depending on what you're into. I know the other thing we do is a spiritual, paranormal, cryptid podcast where we'll dive into.
Yes, I hear you.
They said, like, this pandemic, even though it was terrible, a lot of people took that time to kind of, like, become more spiritually awakened. And a lot of that is getting touch back with nature and learning how to, like, probably eat right and do better things. I didn't do any of that. But, I mean, a lot of people did because it was something that was available to them because it kind of was able to slow their lives down for a moment or two to kind of take that in.
Plus, I think a lot of people also thought it was safer, too, because you're outside and you have the breeze blowing and all that. And I know our state parks, of which we have Pennsylvania state parks, are award-winning on a national level.
Yeah.
And here in our area, we have Locust Lake and Tuscarora.
Yep.
By the way, Locust Lake is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is awesome there.
There's a brewery, as I do a beer show as well, I was telling you when we started, called New Trail. And their whole brewery theme is like outdoors and like whole thing. So they have like beers named after like trees and wildlife.
Oh.
But they make a beer series where each beer is named after a state park in Pennsylvania.
Then
whatever that beer sells, like a portion of the proceeds goes to the conserve, like that, the people who helped to run it and take care of it.
So
they do a donation of that beer. And each beer is named after a different state park.
Well, I like that idea. That's a good idea.
New Trail Brewing Company.
Yeah. I'll have to
check
that out.
And they make really popular beers.
Wow. Yeah. How about that?
And then the one in Pottsville just opened that Walter helped build and do everything for. Their brewery name, people just look
at the
name. Pilgeroo.
Oh, Pilgeroo,
Based off of a spring or a river that ran through by Pine Grove, right?
It's on top of the Blue Mountain.
Yep.
And it means Pilgrim's Rest.
Yep.
And it came up, it's actually Route 501 near the top of, either Berks or Lebanon. I think it's probably Lebanon County, if I remember right. But anyway, it's off to the side. There's a historical marker there. And what happened is, keeping in mind the transportation from way back when, it was a long haul to go up that mountain, and you needed a rest, and you needed water. And there was like a spring there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. Pilgrim's Rest means, well, it's Pogaroo.
There you go.
What
so
a cool name.
When you listen to this podcast, you're like, oh, that's what that brewery's named
there
after.
You go.
So there's all, nature and all this cool things, the little gems in our areas.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. You got to learn where to look for it.
You got it, my man. You got
there's
it.
There's a really cool mural they have in there of like a mountain. Like, beautiful. It's really cool.
Oh, I only saw the outside of it. And I know Walter has had his finger in the pot there.
Yeah,
so
he did a great job.
I'm glad.
I think build a bar and stuff.
Oh, he's a talented young man.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's really a good guy.
Now, I was actually using him as a segue here.
Yeah.
I think it's something that happens in a lot of things, like things that you do or like fire department and stuff like that, where there's a passing of guard every time, where another generation's got to step up and take these roles because people are, you know, you said there's a guy 84 years old still going.
Oh, yeah.
Is it hard to find those replacements of people who are younger that care about these things? Maybe they didn't even know this path to get into this thing. So it's like almost to a point, like our local fire departments are struggling to find people to help save people's houses because the younger generation, A, doesn't know how to do it, or B, there's no one out there to push that, like, hey, you should check this out and volunteer your time, because that's a thing that people are like, oh, I'm not doing anything for free, you know what I mean? But it's one of those things where if we don't find a way to get more people involved, it can go away.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that something that's going on with what you're working with?
Well, I think all careers, all occupations are hindered, you know, by, but I do see that, right now I'm working with a couple of young men that are Boy Scouts going in to do their Eagle Scout projects. Mm-hmm. But I know that in talking with them, they're not going to go into this type of field here, but the Game Commission just had a graduation ceremony of game wardens, and they had a full complement, a full class.
Good.
So, so there must be some people out there that are interested in this.
Yeah.
I am also on the state level. I'm a treasurer. Actually, I've been a treasurer, I can't believe already, Tony, 20-some years for the Pennsylvania Association of Environmental Educators. We have a virtual conference coming up in the third week in March. But there are a lot of young people there, like 40 years my junior. Now, I told you, I'm an old guy. I'm in my 60s now. But I do see some young people getting into this right here.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I do notice is, and I can say this right here, 40-some years ago, I did not see too many women, too many young ladies going into this particular field. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't have them. It was mostly a male-dominated field. But as time went on, women got into that. It's just like teaching. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, there were no male teachers.
Very little, yeah.
And now...
Usually it was a gym teacher.
A gym teacher. That, yeah, that would be it. Yep. But I have to tell you, now I see men that are in that. Just like with nursing, you see mm-hmm. male nurses. I mean, I like that. I mean, somebody says, I follow my passion. If my passion needs to be the outdoors and nature and seeing how I can help to make the planet a better place, then go for it.
Yeah.
My role is, and I've had people come up to me and say, you've been my inspiration. I'm not talking a couple people. I've had several people. That makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Because I believe in that karma. What goes around comes around. Mm-hmm. I go back to that college professor who took time on a Friday afternoon where most college professors would go home and do other things, you know, after a busy week. He took his own personal time and chatted with me and put me up against the wall and said, he shook me and says, come on, what are you, let's talk about this, you know? Mm-hmm. And he spent his valuable time doing that.
Now, you can know? You, in your all your years doing this in Pennsylvania and everywhere you've had a opportunity to touch, I'm just really mostly talking about Schuylkill County and our area, have you noticed a change or a difference in the way things have been going with our conservation and like mm-hmm. parks and stuff like that?
I do know that even just recently, like 2018, I think it was, and I see that because I am working right now with my coworker Drew out at Sweet Arrow Lake. We're hoping to get a place called Frog Hollow to be like an extension of our county park system. Mm-hmm. And there was a study made in 2018 for Southern Schuylkill County, and it involved citizens in the whole Southern Township, municipalities, all that. They said there's not enough open spaces for us to recreate in. They said that. So now they're trying to introduce a new park in Wayne Township, and then also Frog Hollow, and I'm hoping that that'll happen there. Mm-hmm. But I do know that there are people that are interested. I have seen that. I've also seen this. When I first moved here, and that's 30 years ago, boy, this place, it was the pit. I mean, I saw Tamaqua there 30 years ago, and it was filthy. It was dirty. It was like, oh, my God, how can we live here, you know? But now I see it. Look at that beautiful community arts center that you mm-hmm. have. And I see houses that are fixed up, especially on Broad Street. I mean, things are happening.
Yeah.
And you know, you had the built environment. When you improve that, that puts some pride. And I think 30-some years ago, people didn't have that pride, but I think it's growing. I'm positive. Yeah. Maybe I'm unrealistic, but I'm a positive kind of person, optimistic, you know.
I think it's beautiful what they're doing in Pottsville, like the downtown restore, like restoring Pottsville,
yes.
putting all businesses back in there and small business.
Absolutely.
I know growing up, joking around, it was like, we always used to say like Shenandoah was the dump and no one liked Shenandoah and this and that. But if you drive down all the main streets of Shenandoah, there's small businesses going in again.
Yes,
and,
they are.
And the beautiful thing is a lot of them are Spanish-owned businesses.
Yes.
And that was a thing too where people are like, oh, these outsiders are coming. Now they're the ones putting business back into your
Absolutely.
Town.
Absolutely.
And I grew up in Monte City. There's nothing in that town really. Like maybe we have the same pizza shops that's been there the whole time, but like we really have nothing. Like we have $2 Generals. Like I kind of hope that maybe one day that town can kind of start like restoring and getting it back to where it is. Cause it's like, I don't root for towns in this area to fail. Like I want, like one of the things I would love is like, we have all these train tracks.
Oh yeah.
How cool
would
it be to like, for me, obviously, like you go to a bar and you're like, oh, I live in Frackville. Like, oh, I'm going to jump on the train and go to Pottsville today and have a couple beers and take the train home. Like, how do we not have that as transportation in our area? I think that's like, it would be fun to have that, like a rail system. Like, I don't know. I think it'd be, maybe that's just wishful thinking, but I think that'd be cool to have that. Like people go to Jim Thorpe all the time to take a train and they're like, it's the foliage. Like that could be an all year round thing. Why is that just one area?
I once took a train trip from Jim Thorpe to Ashland.
Yeah.
And it went underneath the Vulcan, which is underneath 81.
Yeah.
It's a mile long tunnel.
Darkness.
Oh my word. And I had the pleasure to be with Dale Freudenberger, who's, I think he's the president. I think he still is, of the Tamaqua Historical Society. But anyway, Dale says, Porcupine, come back here to the back of the train here. He says, watch this. So this is like maybe a mile before we went into the tunnel. And he says, just stay here, stay here. I'm like, well, what are we talking about? So we went into this tunnel, but then here we saw the, we went into, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and then it disappeared.
So you're just completely in darkness.
It's like darkness. It's like, wow, this is cool, man, yeah. You know? But you know, the railroad god, this is what I understand, lived here in Schuylkill County.
Yeah.
St. Clair, where I live, it had the world's largest rail yard. Now, keep in mind, you were competing against Berlin, against London, England, New York City, all that. But the world's largest rail yard was right there.
Yeah, we have the infrastructure. Like, yeah. why don't we have that? Like, well, could you imagine if people can get on a train and go to New York or get on a train and go to Philly?
I'd love
Huntsville
that.
Huntsville built a huge rail, like that rail
yes.
station. And it's like, yep. I don't know if you can even take a rail thing out of there, can you?
I know
it's for buses.
Well, actually, there is the Union Station. There is Reading and Northern. They have like the Santa Claus
yeah.
ride that goes into Pottsville. I'm on the board, like a advisory, on the senior advisory board mm-hmm. member of the, what's now called Explore Schuylkill. It was the Schuylkill County Visitors Bureau.
Yeah.
And I was past president actually twice. But I know Gina Gargano, the executive director, said that this year, 2022, they're going to have more train trips coming from down south in Berks County.
That's perfect.
I think they're going to leave from Leesport, come up through Schuylkill Haven, and right up into Pottsville at Union Station.
Yeah.
You know, and oh, I've been on that tour. Oh, Tony, that takes your breath away.
I've never been on a train ride. Like, I've never.
Oh.
I think the closest thing I got to a train ride is the train ride at Knoebels, where you go
oh,
into the
yeah.
woods and you get to see, like,
yeah.
the deer feeding on the trees. Like,
yeah.
that's the only time I've ever ridden a train. Or, like,
yeah.
like a subway, like, not a subway, but the in D.C., the Amtrak. But,
oh,
like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's it. I've never, like,
yeah.
but this area would be beautiful for a train ride.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All the, especially, like, in the fall. Like, I don't know, it'd be cool.
Well, you know, there's that bridge over in hometown.
Oh, the Mile High.
The Mile High. That, yeah. I think that's supposed to be the highest. I don't know.
I know people go up there and walk across. I'm like, you're psycho.
Oh, my God.
Well,
at one time, there was a guy that did, what would they call that, bungee jumping.
Oh, yeah?
He did that there. And then well, somebody bungee jumped a little too far. That's what ended that program.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I remember.
Yeah,
so.
One person does something silly, and then it just checked out for everybody. But, yeah. All right, so let's have a little fun here.
Yeah.
We talked before how we do a supernatural, paranormal, cryptid podcast.
Ooh, yeah.
So you spent a ton of time in the woods, right? Especially
yeah.
in this area.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on some of these cryptids or these fun things in the woods that people speculate about?
Ooh, boy. Well, you're talking like, it's so funny because the other night I watched public television and there was Rick Steves and he was in Scotland and in the Highlands.
Yeah.
And of course, one item that came up was a Loch Ness monster. Mm-hmm. And they swear it's there,
yeah.
you know. But, you know, hey, if you think it's there, that's cool, man. I'm down with that.
Yeah,
you know,
if it gets you a plane ticket and tour,
yeah,
I'm sure, it's here.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
It's like West Virginia has the Mothman
oh, yeah.
statue.
Oh yeah,
and their little town gets a whole bunch of tourism every year, and they
you
make a lot
it.
Of money selling Mothman cookies, right?
You got it. You
yeah.
got it.
So, what are some of the cryptids that you have heard about or have had stories of learning about in Pennsylvania?
Well, there were people that were telling me about stuff that was glowing in the dark.
Glowing
in the dark now. Okay, now tell me more. And I said, like, where is it? Where do you see it? Okay, and they said, well, it's actually at the base of trees, and it's about the size of your thumb. So I go, huh, now where would this be? So they told me, you know, where. And then somebody else called, and they showed me this too. So anyway, it turned out they were glowworms. There
okay.
is such a thing. It's what it is. Now, I know in talking with you earlier, before we went on mic, that we talked about foxfire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a fungus that's among us that is luminescent. It's bioluminescence is what this is called. And, you know, glowworms and all that. And you have fireflies, lightning bugs.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very efficient form of light. When you touch their dupa, their rear end,
yep.
you know, on the firefly, which is, by the way, our state insect,
yeah.
it's cool. It's not hot. And that's extremely efficient because heat, if you touch a light bulb, like the old time, the incandescent ones, that's wasted energy. Mm-hmm. That's inefficient. But the new LED lights, they're a lot cooler, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I go back, I digress.
Well,
but,
fireflies or lightning bugs are ones where like we kind of take for granted this area.
Yes, we do.
They're sort of in the Northeast, but like the further you go down south, they're not around as much, right?
That's what I understand. Yeah, yeah.
I remember
they have their own type of bugs there.
What's a lightning bug? I'm like, they're bugs that glow in the dark and
yeah.
Light. Like, that's
yeah.
a thing? Like,
that's
yeah,
a thing.
We have in Pennsylvania all the time. Like,
anyway,
you catch them. Yeah.
Anyway, you got it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's other people saying about mountain lions.
Okay.
That's the big thing. And you know, I've had reports like around Bloomsburg, because actually, you know, people know me in like not just Schuylkill County, but, you know, regionally. Mm-hmm. And they contact me for my opinion. Now, you know, you never know. Like, it could also be somebody's Maine Coon cat. Who knows? It could even be a dog.
Or people get illegal animals and then
illegal
they get too
animals.
Big and too strong and then they
yep.
release them out in the wild.
Well, you know,
an alligator was just pulled out
yes.
of the Susquehanna.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
yeah. So, you know, anything like that could happen, you know, and I'm sure you saw it, but I don't think it's like the main, you know, cuisine that mm-hmm. you would see out there, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I don't want to diss anybody. I don't want to tell them that, well, you're a fool.
Yeah.
But I just like to say, that's an interesting observation. Let me know when you see it again.
Have you ever been contacted for like anything strange besides glowing things on the bottom of trees?
People have asked about ghosts, you know, because,
right.
you know, again, another part of me is history.
Yeah.
I'm proud to be a board member of the Schuylkill County Historical Society.
Mm-hmm.
And the Female Grammar School, which is our museum in downtown Pottsville, that's supposed to have some paranormal activity going on there.
Tell them to hit us up. We'll go do a podcast
yeah.
and learn. So that's what we
yeah.
do. I don't go to try to ghost hunt or figure it out or disprove or because I don't
yeah.
want to ruin it for anyone. Like, obviously,
yeah.
we don't want to spoil the fun.
Yeah.
But I love to learn the history of it. So, like, when we go to the Jim Thorpe prison,
yeah.
there with China, they're like, is this real or not real?
Yeah.
Go,
yeah.
Like, what's the history here? Or, like, what are some experiences people had? And we just learn it that way.
I like that attitude because a lot of people go in with bias or would go in with bias. You go in with what's called an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
You want to discover, you want to learn. And that's what I aim in my programs.
Yep.
I want people to learn curiosity. I call myself a curiosity engineer. Yeah, I teach environmental education, but it's mm-hmm. all about learning about how you can learn better and be enthused about it.
It's fun.
You
know?
It is.
And when you're being like, fake, I'm out of here. I mean, listen, there's some things we talk on the podcast that like immediately throw the, it's fake, I'm out of here, I'll enforce some stuff. But it is fun to speculate and figure things. Like even the prison, like there's some times we went in the prison and there's some things that happened that night. And I was like, I can't explain it. You know, it is what it is. But so the cryptid thing real quick. Obviously, people talk Bigfoot in this area.
Yeah.
The one that no one really talks about enough, I feel, is the squonk.
Yeah.
The squonk, which is a pig that cries in the woods and when capture it and then it turns into a water puddle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's the one? It's almost like a Bigfoot, but like it's like it takes apples and they have a whole festival at somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Oh, my. Oh, you asked me too fast here now. I know what you're talking about.
I forget the name of it, though.
Oh, it'll come to me probably.
It looks like a Bigfoot, but it's like a smaller version.
Yeah, miniature version there,
But, yeah, that's another thing, too. Like, some breweries are making beers that are based on Pennsylvania cryptids. It's a fun thing.
That is.
If it gets you in the woods exploring.
Hey, yeah. Yet another reason to go outside and check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, got it.
So, what are some goals you have for your field and things that you would love to see in the future, or if you can get a message out to people via this podcast, what would that be?
Well, my message is always what I like to call my personal mission, and that would be, I alluded to it earlier, where I would teach about awareness, and when you're aware of something, you appreciate it. And when you appreciate something, you want to take action. So I call it the AAA factor, mm-hmm. awareness, appreciation, and action. And you know, even to this day right here, you know, no matter how old you are, like I've taught people, like I say, out in the woods that are 90 years old, they know stuff too. They teach me, but I share with them my enthusiasm and how I have become aware of something and how, what I'd like to do is share the mechanics of how I do that with people. Mm-hmm. So I want to continue to do that.
Yeah.
You know, there are things that I've learned, and everybody learns at a different level. Like you and I talked, you know, you're very inquisitive, you're talkative, which mm-hmm. is good. There are other people that are not that way. So how do you enthuse somebody who's, you know, that they're there for a reason, but they don't know how to articulate,
yeah.
you know, that like they don't know how to put a question together, like what's the name of that tree there?
Yeah.
So what you try to do is, okay, you have to ask yourself, what's more important, okay, to know the name of a tree like a red maple or to really discover that tree? Like, especially no matter what season, there's always something red about the red maple. Like mm-hmm. right now there's leaf buds, and guess what color they are? They're going to be red. In about another 3 weeks or so, we're going to start seeing a lot of these red maples, and they have a lot up in Frackville, by the way.
Really?
They do. It's actually the most common tree found in Pennsylvania. But they'll have these red maple flowers that come out. They precede the leaves. And, you know, I get people enthused about the awareness of that. You know,
yeah.
like it's right in front of you. It's like right before your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And
people just look at, oh, that's just a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I could say that's just a tree or that's a red maple and that's it. But it's more important for me to say, well, look about what the mechanics of this tree is.
Mm-hmm.
The bark is smooth, you know, and look, oh, there's a hole here. Look, oh, it looks like it might have been made by a little woodpecker here, Downy woodpecker, you know.
Yeah.
You can tell by the size of the hole. You know, so to discover something is more important than actually naming something is what I, because people forget names.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I call myself Porcupine Pat. If I told them my real name, Pat McKinney, it's like, oh, it's boring, you
yeah.
know. But I say porcupine. They remember the pork part.
Yeah.
They don't remember the Pat part.
Yeah.
I've been called Porcupine Pete.
You know? In a ballpark, right?
Yeah, that's right. You're close.
Yeah.
But yeah.
if there's something that you can send out to, like, people now, like, what is something, if you had one glaring issue or one glaring thing that you wish that people would just absolutely please stop doing this or maybe to get more involved in or anything like that, what would that mess, like, what would that be? Like, littering or anything like crazy like that?
Well, other than that is get off your duppa.
Yeah.
You know, life is too short. I like I say, I can't believe I'm in my 60s now. And I say to myself, yeah, I chronologically, I'm 60-something, but I feel like I have a spirit within me that's very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people to feel the same way. Because there are people that I know that are like in their 40s or in their 30s, and they act like an old person. Like, old as in, like,
my
like
wife.
Well, you know, hey, you know, and you got to say to yourself, hey, life is too short. Yeah. Enjoy it.
Yeah, stay up a little later.
Yeah.
Get off the couch. Stop watching horror movies all day.
That's right. Horror movies. That's right.
That's you all got she it. Watches. It's a problem. You wake up, I fall asleep on the couch. I wake up to someone blood-curdling
ooh,
screams.
Ooh, yeah. There you go.
That's her thing, though.
Well, I know a guy named Steve Pytak who he creates horror movies.
Oh, yeah. We just had two or three horror movies created in this area recently.
Oh,
like
yeah.
People, like local directors and people, like I said, the pandemic,
yeah.
pre-pandemic, people are getting creative. And
good.
Like,
yeah.
Doing something like this, a podcast. If you try to do this probably years ago, like, don't even waste your time. Now it's like, give it a
yeah.
shot. What do you got to lose, you know?
Yeah, what the heck?
It's fun to learn about your areas and stuff like that.
Well,
I'm sorry. So I just want to pull up real quick our Patreon. So I want to get
Patreon,
that out.
Wow.
Some of the people here, just because we're getting close. Here's the porcupine picture I pulled up. Now, you would bring certain wildlife to schools, right?
Well, again,
working
for county government,
yeah.
liability was a big thing.
Yeah.
So I couldn't bring anything live. But what I would have is, and a lot of this stuff I got because people gave it to me.
Yeah.
Like, here's a widow whose husband passed on, and she says, he hunted, he did all this. So I get the deer antlers,
yeah.
and then somebody gave me a big snapping turtle shell.
Okay.
You know, I could go on. I got furs, all that. And, you know, what I do is I share that with people.
Yeah.
And you know, pre-pandemic, I used to be able to touch them and everything. But now I think what we'll do is we have them do their little sanitizer and they can touch it. And then, you
yeah.
know, that's then they can have the sanitizer on the way out, you know, whatever, you know.
So our Patreon, if you do head over to our website, iwepnetwork.com, or the links below, I'm going to have the National Conservation websites and stuff so people can go
and
do all that. Anyone you want to put out there, just send me the email. We'll put them all in the links below.
Oh, good.
So people can easily just click on them and go do that. that. But we have a lot of people who support us on Patreon. It's either $1 or $25. We have a few different tiers, or you can make your own price. Anything over $10 every month, we give away a free T-shirt to one of the people. And we're doing a giveaway from now to the end of the month for people who subscribe. We have like a one-of-one Yeti coupe. Can koozie.
Ooh.
Or Cole's, what is that? I forget what it's called. If I call it a koozie, the one guy on our show gets upset.
Oh.
But it, a Colster.
Colster.
But,
it's
made by Yeti. It's really cool. It's laser engraved with our beer podcast on it.
Oh, wow.
And people want it. Like, everyone on the podcast wants it, but it's a giveaway.
Yeah.
But we want to thank the people who do support us. So Ryan Vox, David S., Brett Squared, Bridget M., Andrew H., Greg R., Heidi B., Ryan G. from the Fueled by Hops podcast, Kelly from Crystal Mountain Healing. She's on our podcast, and she's really into rocks and crystals, and she uses them for spirituality and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Tommy B., another metaphysical store in Ringtown, the Tree of Life.
Ooh,
so they do like metaphysical stuff there with their crystal.
Good.
I always call them rocks, and I try not to because it's like offensive. But I slip sometimes. Brad Z, Hireth in Other Words podcast, and JH. So thank you guys so much. That's one of the perks. Should I do a shout out if you're a local business or if you support
us? Oh, good.
Us? So thank you guys so much. We do have the, like I said, the links below if you want to get a T-shirt with my face on it. You can get that or anything else that's on there. It all goes to supporting us to get all this fancy equipment and keep it up to date and all that fun
and
stuff.
This is pretty fancy. You got a nice operation here.
Well, I appreciate you coming in. I had an absolute blast.
Yeah, it was
great. I
learned
so much. It's like I said, like I always said, like, who are some people like that were bucket list? I came into this season, my fourth year. I'm like, I think my equipment's good. I can get some cool content here, and I can make some cool waves. And you were definitely on the bucket list of someone who I wanted to talk to, because like I said, I feel like you've impacted a lot of us growing up, bringing awareness to it, to our schools for a very, very long time. And when I think I had a little cousin recently who was like a couple, like, he's like, oh, like, we had a guy come to our school. And I was like, was a Porcupine Pat? He goes, yeah. Like, I was like, there it is. It's still going. You know what I mean? It was exciting to hear that. But also, once again, huge thank you to Cabana Entertainment. Look at that beautiful banner.
That is nice. Yes. Very nice.
Yeah. So Nikolai, so where we're recording right now is actually his brand new building in, this is technically Tamaqua. Huh? You can talk.
It's not just my book.
Oh, so. Well, you and your brother. It's the Cabana Brothers.
The Cabana Brothers.
Yes.
There we go.
Well, him and his brother are part of Not Cool in High School. We talk pop culture and stuff. So, yeah, it's him and his brother. They have this building, and they're doing it for photography, filming. So,
good.
On location. If you're another podcaster or you're looking for someone to do something or maybe in, like, a space where you can shoot something, it's available. There's a lot of different things you can do with this space. Just reach out to him. And thank you once again, Nikolai and Anthony, for having us. It means a lot. And so you're not in my kitchen. I'm not inviting some guy. Like, hey, just come to my house.
At the kitchen table there.
Well, it's a table similar to this. We don't have a kitchen anymore. So unfortunately, the kitchen has completely turned into a podcast studio.
Boy.
I don't know if that'll take anything down when I'm done. It stays there. So we just sacrifice one room. There's a stove in there that and a fridge that we cook food and make food. Besides that, the rest is a podcast studio. There's lights and stuff.
Whatever works for you.
It gets the job done. But thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to plug or get out there where people can contact you if they want?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll be more than happy to. They can contact me at porcupinepat@yahoo.com. Mm-hmm. Now, I also want to give another promo for a program. We have a cabin fever hike at Sweet Earl Lake the last Saturday of this month, and it starts at 10 o'clock. For more information, type in Sweet Earl Lake County Park, click on programs, and you'll see the stuff that I'll be offering. They're free programs, free and open to the public.
Just come hang, take a walk.
Take a walk.
Yeah.
You're very welcome
you
there.
You can bring a mask, you can be 6 feet apart, you're out in the open. It's like it all works out.
There you go.
Awesome.
There you go.
And once again, thank you, Walter, for help setting this up.
Walter is the man.
You are a gem. He's going to come on the podcast very soon.
Good.
We're all into the same stuff, so it's going to be he can come out and he can tell me his stuff, because he does a lot of cool stuff around Possible where he builds things for local businesses.
Yes, he does.
Like flower platters for trees and a lot of things you've been recently seeing being done in Pottsville.
Right.
He probably built it, and it's like an unsung hero type thing.
Yeah.
And he's definitely somebody I want very soon. But he helped facilitate this, so thank you to him as well.
There we go.
Well, that's going to do it for Interviews with Everyday People. This is Anthony and Porcupine Pat, and we're out of here.
Thank you. All right. Appreciate it. Okay.
Good, perfect.
That was fun.